B-Pod Studios.
4 o'clock hour, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop for your jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. As you can see in TV land, we have two special guests sitting in with us today with some very interesting and important information on the Mike Miss golf outing, which will be held on May 16th, a Thursday. And we have special sponsor this year and representing Corona Premier, Erica Campbell, Director of Field Marketing, and Taylor McKelkin, Market Development Manager. Guys,
hey,
thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us what your involvement with this year's tournament will be.
Well, we are happy to announce that Corona Premier will be the presenting sponsor of this year's Mike Missinelli Golf Outing.
That is awesome. Now, Corona Premier, a new brand.
Yep.
Tell us about it, Taylor. I mean, Erica.
I'll take it. So,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Talking to that microphone right there.
All right.
There you go.
So, essentially, Corona Premier is the sophisticated new choice for those that are looking for an elevated light beer. It's smooth, light, perfectly balanced, and it has a little bit of a sweetness and a clean, perfectly balanced finish, like I said. So with only 2.6 carbs and 90 calories, you're definitely going to be picking up something that's not going to weigh you down, which we all know we can't be weighed down on the golf course. So
I had one yesterday, in fact, as I was watching the replay of the Masters. I liked it, loved it. So we are really pleased that you guys are our presenting sponsor. We've taken the golf tournament up another notch to get Corona involved here.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to you guys.
We couldn't be more happy to be partners with you.
Yeah. Now, Erica, this is not the first time you've been on television, right?
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, we were talking before the show, and this is like old hat to you to be on TV.
I mean, I've done a little TV.
I'm just going to let you reveal it.
No.
You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know that you have some television experience. Would you like to enlighten the fans?
I guess. Yes, I was on The Bachelor 10 years ago.
You were on The Bachelor 10 years ago.
Yes.
So the big question is, did you get a rose?
I did a couple of times.
Oh, look at you.
I did.
Two roses?
I did. Three roses.
Three.
And then I made my way home. And I actually, on the way home, I realized that my new hobby, other than television, was golf. So I started golfing as soon as I got home.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And so you're a player.
I'm a little bit of a player.
Are you going to come and play? You guys going to play in the event?
I don't know, Taylor. Are we going
to
play?
Well, we might have to have Erica join us, yeah. I will be there for sure with a few business partners, and it sounds like we need to get Erica involved.
Oh,
also.
Fantastic. Okay. This is really a great delight to us to have you guys involved. And so Erica, was that the love of your life that you let slip through your fingers?
No, the only love of my life is Corona Premier.
Okay.
Nice.
See, she's slick.
Nice.
She's slick. Well, listen, you guys, thanks for coming in. We can't wait for the golf tournament, obviously. And again, it's going to be a presenting sponsor. It's Corona Premier, premium light beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and 90 calories. Man, that's awesome. Thank you guys for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. It's Taylor McKelkin and Erica Campbell. It's a very successful contestant on The Bachelor. But now Director of Field Marketing for Corona Premier. Thanks, you guys. All right. And by the way, Ticket Raids will be hosted by Natalie Eganoff, where listeners can win a twosome to the golf outing and other great prizes. Details can be found on the Fanatics event page. But on the 24th of this month, you'll be at the Post in Philadelphia,
yes,
Natalie.
Right near 30th Street.
25th Duffer's Pub, mm-hmm, in Concordville.
Yeah.
And May 1st, the Station Tap House in Doylestown.
Yeah, I'm excited for those events, and I can't wait to see everybody who comes out. And this is going to be the best Mike Missinelli Open ever.
That sounds awesome.
And we want to get the best players
so we're
in the competition.
We are presented by Corona Premier this year. That is a big gift for us. And, of course, the golf tournament will be on the 16th, Thursday, May 16th. And so you can go on our website right now and get information on...
Registration's open.
Registration is open right now.
As of right this minute,
okay,
it's now
yes,
open.
It'll be at the Downingtown Country Club. And registration is now open. The proceeds from the event will benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. The AACR is the world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. Now, reminder, this event sells out really fast. So make sure you get your groups together, foursomes, twosomes, and attend for a really good cause. And thanks to the great folks, Eric and Taylor, and the whole crew at Corona Premier. All right, let's get back to the phones and talk to Brett in Harrisburg. Brett, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Mike. Hey, I agree with you wholeheartedly on Ben playing the four sometimes. I do think he's a point guard, but I think at times he needs to play the four. One, I think it makes the Nets look at other options and other ways they have to guard the Sixers. But I think that he's absolutely a point guard in the future, but he has to start shooting from 10 to 12 feet. You know, that's my take on it. And I think,
well, we all know that, right?
Absolutely.
We all know he has to shoot, but he's not going to do it. So right. We're in the middle of a series here. So what's the best way to utilize him?
I think you got to play him with the point sometimes. And I think you got to also play him with the four sometimes.
Okay. I agree with you. And, you know, at this point, you're going to have to get what you can get out of the guy. And it's obvious now. We've seen enough games and enough playoff series to know how to shut him down.
Absolutely. And I think he's proven that his shot has gotten better. Look at him from the foul line recently. He's gotten better there.
He's gotten a little better. He wasn't good in game one.
Right, but he's confident.
He was Brick City in game one. Yeah. All right, Brett.
All right, man.
All right. Yeah, we all know that for his career, what he needs to do. But right now, it's up to the coaching staff to utilize what he hasn't been doing. And like I said before, and I said this at the start, I still think the Sixers will win this series. Tonight will tell the tale. But there are players on this team that turtled up in game one, Ben being one of them, and I summoned the pride of Ben Simmons. Ben, if you're out there, you're listening, I got to have some pride. You're a better player than what you showed in game one. You got to give a little more. You've got to open your heart a little more. And right now, this does not look like a very good coaching staff. Not a coaching staff that adjusted to what an inferior team did to them, both offensively and defensively. There weren't any offensive or defensive counters to what the Nets were presenting in game one. And I find that mind-boggling. Let's go to Stacy in Lebanon. Stacy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stacy.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Stace? How you doing?
Good. I watched that game, man, and I saw nothing that induces Ben's game at 6'11". He should be rebounding and playing stellar defense if you're not scoring. At this level in his career, this is what he should concentrate on.
There's a timidity to his game right now that is very disturbing.
Very timid. So at 6'11", if you can't score, get under the basket, box out, and rebound, and play stellar defense.
Yeah, well, he had seven rebounds yesterday.
Okay, at 6'11", he should have more than seven.
Yeah, but he's up top a lot, so... I hear you. You should be getting a lot more of in all category. He had three assists. He's the point guard. He had three assists.
I watched several plays where he didn't even box out or make an effort to get the rebound.
There are things I don't understand. Like fundamental basketball, if people are collapsing, others are open. I don't understand what the design of their offense is and what he's thinking when he's got three guys coming to where he's going. There's got to be somebody that cuts back door. There's got to be an open wing.
I watched him dribble down the court, stop at the foul line, and hand the ball off to JJ.
That's what he does because he's stopped. When he's stopped, he wanders. What do I do now? That's the mindset.
Well, he needs to focus on his defense and rebounding at this point.
All right. I got you. Let's go to Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Hank?
All right. I'm glad you enjoyed your time at Augusta, man.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah. It's hard not to enjoy yourself there. It's really a unique place. It really is.
Okay.
Now, well, it smelled like chicken crap most of the time because of the it rained earlier in the week and the walking areas were funky. They really were.
Yeah. You had that experience, so that's cool.
I still have that scent in my nose.
Yeah, well, you can get it out.
It's like a pig farm.
Yeah. But listen, I hear all the talk about Ben Simmons, but we knew we hadn't Ben Simmons for the last couple of years, right?
Uh-huh.
So I can almost accept some of this stuff. But my problem is we traded half the team for Tobias Harris. Right. And since he got here.
Half the team for Tobias Harris. Who they trade for Tobias Harris? What are you talking about? Shamit?
Well, Shamit would have been a better solution.
No, Shamit's not as good a player as Tobias Harris. Come on.
Hey, listen. Tobias Harris been looking like he's been scared to shoot since he got here.
No. When he first started, he blended in real well. I don't know this Tobias Harris. I don't know what happened. He played 47 minutes and got 7 shots off.
Yeah,
and then go to the free throw
understand.
Line.
And he's what, 6'9"?
Yeah, I don't know what it, like he's gotten timid. I don't understand it. He's turtled up.
I think it's maybe because he don't want to step on nobody's toes. But at this point, you need to step on people's toes.
You got to make yourself available, man. You got to make yourself available. Get the open spots. You got to find the floor.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. So, you know, y'all doing a good job today. And Tyrone, thanks for cutting me off last week when I guessed who picked what song.
Tyrone, were you tough on the callers last week?
I was myself.
Thursday and Friday.
But I wasn't particularly tough. He did not get the right songs. We did a thing called, it was actually an homage to the Alt Pick of the Week.
Yes, it was.
I wanted to involve some music on the program.
The Alt Pick of the Week?
It was an homage.
A little bit of an homage.
A little bit of an homage to it.
All right.
So we each picked a song. Mm-hmm. And played 30 seconds of it. And the caller would win a prize if they were able to guess who picked each song.
Mm-hmm.
He got it wrong. It's not that I cut him off when he got it. He got it wrong. So that's why he didn't get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You had to pick each one. He picked Andrew's song wrong. So I cut him off because wrong answer. Call was over. Mm-hmm. Once he got the answer wrong.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was no one actually ended up getting it.
No one got it.
Nobody got it. It wasn't that hard, but nobody got it.
So you weren't overly tough on people?
No.
Huh.
No.
I was just asking. Nah. I saw a couple tweets.
Listen, there were some people that were stupid, but I wasn't overly tough on anybody. No.
All right, let's go to Wilson in Southwest Philly. Wilson, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Wilson?
How you doing, Mike?
Good, Wilson. How you doing?
I was listening to this thing about Ben Simmons. I have a question. His first year in the league, he didn't do anything because he had a bad foot.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't he in the gym learning how to shoot?
He shoots. Trust me when I tell you, he shoots. I've seen him at practice shoot. He just doesn't want it. He's afraid to do it in the game. He doesn't want to expose the weakest part of his game. He has been praised so much for the great parts of his game that he's a perfectionist guy now. He doesn't want people to see that he doesn't do a certain thing that well.
But you said you saw him in the gym.
He shoots all the time. They encourage him to shoot all the time. He's always shooting jump shots in practice.
Okay. I was just wondering.
He just can't mentally want to pull the trigger in a game because I believe it's because he doesn't want to show people the weakest link of his game. Because he thinks that he's like he has been praised as the perfect player. He knows if he shoots the ball, people are going to get the idea he's not the perfect player. So rather than shoot it, he avoids it. It's like something you avoid that you don't do well, whatever it is, right? You don't want to show other people that you don't do a certain thing well.
I got you.
You got me? Like, what is it that you don't do well, Wilson?
A lot of things.
All right. Now, again, I always relate to this. It's the dancing at a wedding. It's fast dancing at a wedding. There are a lot of dudes that will not fast dance at a wedding because they don't want to show other people and look ridiculous. There are some people that get so drunk they don't care about it. But the self-aware people are the ones that worry about other people looking at them and their insecurities. So he's got an insecurity when it comes to shooting the basketball, and he doesn't want to expose it to others who may make fun of it.
That's tough, too.
It's a mental thing. It's a terrible mental thing.
It's tough. Now, who lives a better life, in your opinion? The person that dances like nobody's watching and doesn't care, or the timid person? Who do you think in life, take the basketball away?
Yeah.
Who's living better? The person who just gets out there, bad dancer or not, or the person who recognizes they're a terrible dancer?
The guy
dancer?
Goes out there and doesn't care that he's a bad dancer.
That's the better life. See,
I don't know.
That's what I'm just saying.
I have to, that's something I have to work on.
What?
Dancing like no one's watching?
Not that part, because I'll just dance. But, when I think I'm bad at something, I never do it. So that's something I have to be better at.
All right. You see him shoot. We know he shoots the ball.
No, he shoots a tremendous amount.
He shoots a lot.
And he makes a lot of shots. I don't know why. He makes a... there's times where he'll make 3-4 straight corner threes, go to the other corner, make 3-4 more corner threes in a row, and walk off the court. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is going to be the day where he unveils it in the game because he's feeling good because he made his last 8 in a row. And then it doesn't happen. He can shoot the ball. I'm not saying he's Reggie Miller, but he can shoot the ball.
But see, it's a mental situation now when he won't take a 10-footer. He just doesn't want to show people that he might not make that 10-footer. He'd rather show people that he can get to the basket and dunk and scream when that opportunity is available. Otherwise, he's content to just drift to no man's land and not have a contribution on the game, which I find hard to believe. That's a foolish pride thing at that point.
Plus, he has to shoot when he's playing with Simmons and TJ. That's the only way those guys can score, is by him shooting and maybe getting a rebound.
Why didn't he play your boy Zaire more?
Odd. I know why.
Why didn't they play Zaire more?
That was a mistake, in my opinion. And I know he's not ready, but your alternative isn't ready. And he can fight over screens. I tell you what, if he's playing defense on a basic pick and roll, he'll stay with his man because he's just quick enough to do it. That's not NBA difficult.
First of all, this coaching staff has no idea who to play off the bench. And that's because none of them can play. But they don't even want to try stuff. Like, it's the same old thing. I throw TJ in there. I throw Marjanovic in there. It's the same old crap. Play Mike Scott 30 minutes off the bench.
Played 11 guys in that game, and they lost by 9. It's not like they lost by 20.
They don't have any rhyme or reason of putting a guy in a certain role. Troy in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Troy.
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you doing?
What's going on, Troy?
Hey, I've been a Sixers fan all my life, okay? Diehard Sixers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that regardless of what happens, whether the Sixers win the series or not, or how far they go this year in the playoffs, I think some major changes need to happen. And I have what I call my 5-point plan, and you can call it the new process if you want to. But number one, I think as much as I like the coach, I think it's time for him to move on. Okay. And I think that Monty Williams, they shouldn't let him go to the Lakers. Let him take over. Okay.
Why?
There needs to be a new boy.
What has Monty Williams done this year that makes you think that he could be a good head coach here?
Well, what I'm thinking is he's well regarded around the league.
Who cares? What has he done to improve this team right now?
Well, he hasn't had the range yet.
Does he have any suggestions? Because I see a rudderless team and the assistant coaches have no input at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The head coach is the main voice. It's time for a new voice is what I'm saying.
I agree with that if they don't get past the second round.
Right.
But what does Monty Williams do? He sits there and doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll give you that. But let me give you my second point.
Second
point is that Embiid needs a different health and wellness plan. He needs a regimen that's going to increase his endurance and reduce the amount of injury that he has.
He needs to lose weight is what he needs to do.
That's right. He's out of shape. And it's showing.
He needs to lose weight because of the load on his feet and his knees and stuff like that. So he's got to be at least 10 pounds lighter.
Exactly. Now, number three, I think that between Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris, and I actually personally would say keep Jimmy, but you need to have somebody, one of those guys, those two guys kind of cancel themselves out. Each other out, I should say. And so I think you keep Jimmy. Jimmy has the type of mentality and a tenacious,
I agree. You have to keep Jimmy.
Really neat.
Totally agree.
Okay. Number four, real quick. I think that, okay, the time has come now. J.J. Redick needs to go. That $20 million.
I agree with that, too.
You can use that money, and that rolls into my next point, because you need to build a bench. When they got rid of Ilisovic and they got rid of Bellinelli, we lost those guys that would come in and be fearless.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have nobody on the bench. You just
I got it. Obviously, they have to increase their bench. I mean, that's not an enlightening thing. Their bench stinks. But I agree with him. I think Redick is, this is the last year now. I'm firmly convinced. You can't milk another year out of him. And I want to keep Butler, too. The Tobias Harris thing is a mystery to me. I don't know where it's gone. I have no idea what this guy's thinking. And it may be just that he's a decent player on a bad team. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's time to update our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons on a big night for basketball. Must-win situation. Natalie, what's our Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,400 votes on this one today. Who had a worse game one? 21% say Brett Brown, 53% say Ben Simmons, 16% going J.J. Redick, and 10% say Tobias Harris.
All right, there you go. So yesterday, actually, I actually played golf yesterday. I got back Saturday night, not yesterday. So I listened to Tirico when I was coming back from the golf course. But I'm playing with my buddy, George, and I'm checking the phone on the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the app up and the whole bit. He goes, listen, I know you're keeping up with the Masters. Do me a favor. I'm DVRing it. Don't tell me what's going on. I go, okay. So we get to hole 14.
All right.
And we're walking off the green. And guys are coming down the next fairway, yell out, hey, Tiger's up by two with two to play. Just blew his whole gig, man.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
From across the fairway, he yelled and screamed it.
That's no good. Tirico's call was good. I have it.
Yeah, you have Tirico's call?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's get to Mike Tirico's radio call. This was on the PGA Network. It had been, in Westwood 1.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Everyone quiets down. Tiger back behind the ball. Woods puts it.
Get in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion. One of the great comeback stories in American sports history.
Well, there you go. Well, that's a good call.
Good call by Tirico.
Standing over that two-footer, I'm going, can you imagine if he misses this?
I know, it's like the playoff now he has to go to.
The nervous knees. But he hit it solid. He hit it right in the back of the cup. But I'm thinking, he kept going, all these guys are going, miss. No.
I thought that because people, I was trying not to jinx him, so I wouldn't tweet. And I was, when he got there, I was like, oh, "Don't jinx him! Stop!"
No, he got there. I tweeted before he got as he was playing 18.
Yeah,
so I didn't see that was where that was going to happen.
And they also, he knew that he only needed five, so
yeah, he went safe with the bogey to win it.
Yeah,
but you know, he could have dazzled and made that putt. In true champion fashion, but
see, that's a violation.
Let's go to Tony uptown. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Yo, Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Tone?
Yo, Mike, I really appreciate you taking my call. Like I said, I value your opinion. You know, I listen to you every day, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Tone.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, this Sixers thing is funny to me, man, because I feel like the callers and you're kind of like, you know, reiterating what I've been feeling this whole time. Like, you know, I feel like Ben Simmons is just not a point guard. You know what I mean? And like your Tiger point, I feel like it's based in logic and the fact that he's never played point guard on any level. You know what I mean? Just because he can pass, that doesn't make him, a, you know the nuances.
He's played point guard at every level.
He didn't. He played forward in high school. He forward in college.
No. He's played point guard at almost every level.
He did, you know, but
he did. Trust me when I tell you, he did. He's always had the ball in his hands because of his ball skills.
Listen. Even just like LeBron, just because he can bring the ball up sometimes, LeBron has always had a point guard on the roster in the starting lineup. You know, man, I feel like that's what the Sixers are missing. We need a scoring guard.
You might be right about that. If the guy's not going to shoot a 10-footer, see, if he learns to shoot a 10-footer, they can't wedge him off anymore, which means he can get to the basket anytime he wants with the ball.
We don't have time to wait. That's the thing. And I feel like in that game the other day, the best plays was when Embiid quartered on one block and threw it to Simmons on the other. I feel like he's just more natural down low. But the problem is they don't have another
guard.
Hold on a second.
His skills with the ball are unbelievably excellent. So you're going to take that away from him. Isn't it just as easy to say, listen, you got to shoot that 10-footer?
No, it's not that easy. You know what I mean? Because the thing is, his ball skills and his unbelievable passing is the same as Brian. But Brian never played point. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm telling you. Like, you know, I don't. It seems really simple to me. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. But the other point I had, I wanted to throw out there, man. Everybody talking about Tobias and how Jimmy, you know, was struggling a little bit or whatever. I wanted to throw it out there to you, man. Do you think it's something that could be said about the fact that maybe Embiid might be like hard to play with? You know, like sometimes when you implement a new guy, they start off good, but then that guy that's been there kind of sees like what's going on, and it's like, yo, man, you taking too many shots. You know what I mean? So guys kind of reluctant because you know this guy been acting funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but
and,
Tobias,
you know,
when Embiid missed a lot of games that Tobias didn't show up in down the stretch. Tobias was playing. He had the same personality. He had the same invisible profile. I don't know what's happened to the guy. Now, in traditional NBA, you know, the big man is not as dominant. Nobody has a dominant big man who scores. You know, the big men you see today are like they pop out and shoot threes, but they don't really post down low. They don't shack it anymore in this league. So I don't know. Can you win with Embiid? I would think you can. His skills are so vast that you should be able to win with Embiid. But this thing that's not vibing is that you got to have Embiid up top to accommodate Simmons, and it's just not vibing. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mikey Miss, welcome back.
What's up, Chris?
You know, when I spoke to Tyrone Friday and I told him I was concerned, my gosh, did I not think I would be this concerned about tonight's game, too.
Yeah.
I said this before to Ty, and I said, you know, and it's a different team than when they faced him without Tobias and Boban, but Jimmy, like, he was covering Russell, and Russell, you know, did his thing, but he didn't do as, I don't know that he had the 41 against Butler, or did he? Maybe you could check that for me. But what I think this team's problem is, and I'll get to Ben in a minute separately, but this team, like on defense, when have you, and I was talking to Tasty Cake about this, they do not fight through screens.
They don't.
To save their life.
They don't. And if you're not going to fight through screens, you got to rely on help. They don't help either.
And yeah, well, see, and they do that against J.J. Redick, and he gets five fouls of the game, and didn't even have 10 points. Like, that's why I was with the caller who said, it's time to move on from him. Like, thank you for everything you've done, J.J. You evolved your game to be include the two-pointer, but you are a defensive liability.
I think you've seen the last of J.J. for this year. But again, this is I'm not even looking at next year, what they're going to do, who's going to stay, who's going to go. This is the series they have to salvage to get to the second round.
Exactly.
So I'm obsessed with this. They are what they are right now. Now figure out a way as a coaching staff, four-headed monster, to get it done against an inferior team.
Now my second point, Ben Simmons and Brett Brown. Do you get the inclination, and I think it's quite obvious, that Ben Simmons plays the way he does and does not choose to evolve his game because Brett Brown has made this happen. I think it will take another coach coming in, and I don't know who, but somebody who can put their foot up his rear end and get him to realize you cannot be par Ben Simmons if you are going to succeed.
You have to evolve. It is possible that another coach is the one that's going to get to him. I think that Brett Brown's been very hands-off with Ben Simmons for many reasons, not the least of which is the connection that he's had with Ben. Not the least of which is he wants to keep his job, and he wants to keep him here to keep his job. so he doesn't want to put his foot on the pedal too much. But again, nothing of what he's going to say to this guy is going to translate to the guy actually doing it with his own limbs. And that's what it comes down to. If the guy doesn't realize, well, he's got to realize. I don't know how he can't realize that he needs to attempt shots. I don't know what he's thinking. It's like a Rubik's Cube to me. I don't get, like, he knows that if he'll take the 10-footer, the next time they can't bunch him, and then he can get by people and be even better in that area. Tyrone, help me out here.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I wish. You know how Andy Reid a lot would throw to Pinkston first play mm-hmm. deep. I honestly wish the first play with Ben Simmons just shoot a three-pointer. Miss or make, first play. You jump ball, you get the ball first. Ben Simmons, you shoot a three-pointer. I don't care if you make it or miss it.
I don't need the three-pointer.
No.
This is what I need a jump shot.
And then the next play is foul line extension because he can get there whenever he wants. Shoot that one again. And then after that, we'll do whatever you want. Try it just those two plays. I think the building will get into it. The building will cheer if he shoots it. Miss or make, they'll go crazy. And I think it might break him out of it with his brain.
I really think he needs a sports psychologist to get him past this hurdle of not wanting to shoot the basketball. I've never seen anything like it. It's a 10-foot shot. You grew up taking 10-foot shots.
He shot more in college, and he would make the he can make that shot. He's getting into the paint. This isn't even perimeter. These aren't even jump shots. He's in the paint at that point. He was able
That's
to
what
get
I mean.
The
you're,
paint.
You're in the paint. There's a the jump paint. Shot in the paint. It's not like
not really a
you're
jump
climbing
shot.
Mount Everest.
Right. It's like this. He can almost do a floater or a flip. I don't care. You're 6'10". He can get that shot off whenever he wants. It's odd.
It's really odd. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, it's 4:46. It's the Mike Fasanelli Show. Just take quick inventory. Sixers, obviously, big game two tonight. Phillies win yesterday. Gene Segura with a home run, extra innings to win that game. And the Flyers hired a head coach today, Alain Vigneault. And I don't know if this is going to make Flyer fans happy or not, but he's more of a defensive-oriented coach. Now, that helped Vancouver get to a Stanley Cup. When they bottled it up, they had Roberto Luongo, I believe, as their goalie. So maybe the defensive-minded coach and Carter Hart will turn these Flyers' fortunes around.
Yeah. My one issue with it all, though, is the Flyers' issue lately hasn't been coach. This talent.
Yeah.
And good. This is a good hire. There's nothing bad about this hire. Mm-hmm. But if they don't get better players, it's not mm-hmm. going to matter. And that's the thing that I have to wait and see. I believe they're going to do it. So this is only a first step for me. They yeah. need better players.
Yeah, I agree with that. But if you're a defensive-minded coach, you can sometimes win games without having an abundance of talent.
Yeah, but for how long? I'm not just trying to make the
you.
Playoffs.
I hear you.
I'm trying to get a cup, so I need mm-hmm. some talent. But it is good that the best young player you have is the goalie. You think, mm-hmm. and now you get a defensive coach in front of him that helps protect the goalie because he did a lot with nothing in front
yeah,
of him last
but
year.
But the game has also evolved now. And, you know, Vigneault's methodology might not work anymore because the defensive pairings had to spend some time in the neutral zone a lot instead of staying at home.
No, you're right.
You know, they got to kick off, start plays and stuff like that anymore. You got to have mobile defensemen back there. All right, let's go to Lou in Mount Airy. Lou, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Lou.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Lou?
I am literally furious right now.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one of your callers the other day say the plus and minus means nothing. You cannot have two minus 21 players on the same court at the same time. You'll find yourself down 20 points in no time. J.J. Redick, three of them, it'll be catastrophic.
Well, I got what you're saying, but you got to have J.J. Redick on the floor. There's no way around. You can't have him not on the floor. His three-point shooting ability, what they do on offense, is essential.
Yeah.
So what you got to do is cover up and help defend, which they haven't been doing.
Right. That's it. Minuses means you're not scoring and you're not getting a stop. So keep J.J. Redick on the floor. Get rid of the other two. You have to try something different.
You can't have Ben Simmons off the floor either. You got to have a perimeter defender out there, right? Now Butler's a good perimeter defender. You've got to help defend. And you have to anticipate. You saw what was happening. One pick got those guys open shots all game. One pick, one up top screen, got him up, open shot. So you got to anticipate the screen, and if you're going to switch, you got to have a help defender, or you got to fight through the screen. There's two ways you do it. Now, I suggest they help defend, because these guys aren't good at fighting through screens. So always have a helper.
One last thing.
Yes.
Then do it like this. You have to say, look, last game you were minus 21. You were minus 21. I'm going to have to cut some of your minutes. Make them people wake up and
You're cut off your nose to spite your face. You're going to cut off minutes of two guys that you need on the floor that are essential to you scoring the basketball. Vicente and Lansdowne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vicente.
Hola, amigo, Mikey.
Hola, amigo, Vicente.
I'm so excited and so happy for Tiger Woods.
You are.
Come back from behind.
Uh-huh.
At 43 years old. Now, you had to pay some praises to Tiger Woods because you mentioned that he was done for good. He will never win again.
I did say that, yes. I was obviously wrong.
It was a guy who placed a bet $85,000 and he walked away.
I saw that.
$2 million.
I saw that.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
You know, and now the game of golf, you play golf all the time, you know, and you get certain enjoyment and certain frustration. It depends on four factors, you know, the physics, the psychology, and also the ability to doing your head geometry.
Yep.
At what angle?
He did everything perfect. He putted like a maniac on Saturday, first of all.
Unbelievable.
And he hit every spot on green on Sunday. He was unflappable. He deserved it.
You saw the 11th hole.
And then when my countryman put it in the water in the 12th, and then he put it again on 16. That was the end. Francesco Molinari. Right. He choked so badly that he had to eat Prego that night.
Right.
Yeah. He used the Prego.
It wasn't just Francesco Molinari. Also, Finau. You know, Finau.
Tony Finau. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't expect Molinari to make a mistake. Finau hasn't won anything, and he's got great talent, but he doesn't have any experience in winning. But at least Molinari has won.
I think, you know, by after the four surgeries in the back, Tiger Woods start recovering little by little with practice, and now he focused more in being a father to his child and, you know, try to avoid all the limelight.
It's great. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. I'm so happy for him.
And you have to imitate that, and so you will be another champion as well.
All right. I'm so happy for him. Oh, it was so touching, you know, the scene of him mugging everybody. It was just great.
Yeah. I hope the 76ers imitate the same enthusiasm and the same courage so they can win something that you know they can win.
Yes.
Against the net.
There you go, Vicente. Thanks, buddy. Tiger also started, he went with the fashion trend all week. He went with the mock.
Yeah, so I go to the store looking for the mock.
No mocks?
Not yet in the stores. In the stores.
So you were in a Fugazi, basically a Fugazi Tiger. He's put them back in a closet.
What you want me to do?
Those collar shirts.
Yeah. All right. we made a promise on Friday on the air. If he won, we were coming.
Yes.
We followed through the red and black for our guy Tiger. And you not enjoying the family.
What did I do? I was so happy for Tiger. What did I bring you back?
Oh, yeah. It's very nice.
I brought you back a Master shirt, both you and Nat.
I know. That was so nice.
Yeah, like, I'm showing the TV camera.
It was a History Masters.
It was very nice.
And I said, okay, well, they should have a piece of history.
I'm going to wear this at the Mikey Miss
Open. I didn't buy anything for myself.
Me too. Yeah,
I'll wear this at the Mikey Miss Open.
This was bought last year. This is last year's model. I didn't buy a thing for myself.
No, my this is nice. I got to admit, Mike.
That pro shop at the Masters is like crack.
It's a nice,
I swear to God.
Nice shirt.
You go in there and you go, what?
I know. I don't have mine on me. Mine's a nice blue with neon green piping.
Yeah, neon green piping?
Yes. Very fashion forward.
Yeah, you should bring it in next and get a TV shot of it. And
okay.
We'll see if you get thumbs up or thumbs down for the color that I chose for the nat.
Okay. All right. All right. After this break.
610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour is right ahead right here. Sal Powell's going to join us at 5:15 with some news. Carson Wentz and his injury situation. We might have some news on that front because he's not ready yet, apparently. It's the Mike Misnelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.